Hey guys, welcome to Love People and Make Money. I'm Kelly McCauzy. I'm your host. I'm so glad I get to spend some time with you today. Before we jump into this episode, I do need to issue a profanity warning. I am swearing in this episode. I have marked the episode explicit, so I want to give you a little countdown so that if you have any little ears in the room and you're not wearing headphones, you can get those headphones on or find a time to listen when they're not around. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, no little ears, right? I've written a book with some co-authors, and the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, I'm going to say shit a lot in this episode and in the upcoming episodes where I'm interviewing my co-authors. I might even let the F word fly. So, yeah, that's why I have this little warning in the head of the episode. I'll put this warning on every episode where I swear. I don't always swear. So, you know. But this book, the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, you're going to hear the word. Shit means fears, insecurities, circumstances, limitations, perceived limitations, all the things you let stop you from doing what you want to do in your life and in your business. So rather than say fears, insecurities, circumstances, and perceived limitations, I just say shit. I'm inviting you through these interviews and through the book project to get past your shit. Whew! Let's go. Hey y'all, welcome to Love People and Make Money. This is episode number 52. I'm on a roll. Seriously, I'm literally recording 20 episodes in the month of September because I have 18 co-author storytellers, and then I have another person who wrote a closing chapter. So lots of conversations for the Get Past Your Shit book project. But you know, that's not the only thing that I have going on right now. The Stretch Yourself Challenge, as you're listening to this, has just wrapped up. It runs during the month of September. And now everyone is celebrating and claiming their gifts. So people who officially finished the challenge get to choose between the I Rise Up coffee mug or to send out card brownies in the mail, which if you have ever had them, they're delicious. I haven't had one in about 5 years, actually. I think more. My God, goodness, I think it might be more like 6 years since I've had one of their brownies. I don't eat sugar or flour anymore, so I can eat keto brownies, though, in case you ever want to send me something. Okay, so Stretch Yourself Challenge has just wrapped up, and that means a whole lot of people have just been offered a special opportunity to join Momentum Coaching Mastermind. I want to mention it to you. Momentum Coaching Mastermind is my weekly mastermind group. There's actually three different groups that meet every week because I have more than can fit into one call and benefit. So we meet on, we have a Monday call, a Tuesday call, and a Wednesday call right now. Sometimes we even have a fourth call during the week when the group is especially large and we have a lot of day workers. So, the regular price of Momentum Coaching Mastermind is $200 a month or $2,000 a year. And during the Stretch Yourself Challenge, I make an offer to sign up for half price, paying just $97 a month, or prepaying for the year for $997. Whether or not you've come through Stretch Yourself Challenge, that offer is open right now. So if you're listening to this and thinking, heck yeah, I want in while the price is this good. Send me a note, Kelly at lpamm.com, and say, hook me up. What's the link? How do I get in at this deal? Momentum Coaching Mastermind. Every week we meet, I often have a topic, a question, something that we're going around the circle chatting about. But sometimes a member will have a problem that they're trying to solve, a roadblock they need to overcome, a sales page or an opt-in page they need feedback on. We really roll with whatever the needs of the group create, which is perfect. In addition to the weekly Zoom call, we do have a private section of the forum over at Mastermind Hub for just us. And we do some other fun things through the year as well. We've done some co-working sessions, some back-end days where we focus on the little moving pieces that keep our business running, checking them over, making sure everything is running smooth. And then we're not leaving money on the table because we do that sort of thing. Money falls through the cracks as you build. I'd love to have you consider joining us in the Mastermind. It's a joy. It's a pleasure for me. I look forward to the calls every week. So check that out. MomentumMonthly.com if you want to go take a look and read about what is involved. MomentumMonthly.com. All right, let's jump into my conversation with today's guest, Michelle Gill. Hey, welcome back, listeners. I'm joined now by my guest, Michelle Garrett.
Hey, everybody.
From Divas with a Purpose. You purposeful diva, you.
Hi there. I'm excited to be talking with you today. This has been such a fun process.
So I've known you for a really long time. We've met in person at live events. Mm-hmm. And you're part of my book project.
Yay!
You're chapter 6. And the name of the chapter is Second Chance. And I'm really doing my best not to slip spoilers. I don't know. In your household, do you have a no spoiler culture?
So we don't.
Y'all just like blow it for people when they're watching something.
Well, no. I'm the type where I really don't care.
Yeah.
for most things, because I'm that person that I may like read the end of the book just to get it. And really? As people read my chapter and get to know me more, they may realize why that is. And I've learned throughout my process that there's a reason behind me not minding, mm-hmm. knowing what's going to happen. And so I won't spoil it for others. Like, I don't like those people. Like, if I know the ending, I'm not going to tell you the ending if you don't want to know. Like, I'll make sure. But if you don't care, then I'll let you know. And it's okay in my book, but yeah, I'm totally okay with knowing some spoilers.
So, I think for us, from my family, my son and I, because I was divorced when he was really little, he would spend a weekend with me and a weekend with his dad. And if he watched something without me, we had an agreement. He was to not breathe a word. And if I watched something without him, I would never like say, oh my God, this happened. Because we wanted to catch up and experience it for ourselves. And so like Star Trek TV shows. And I remember we watched Alias. Like 5 seasons of Alias with Jennifer Garner. Like, for me, a spoiler just like, it just knocks like 20% of the joy off of my experience. So yeah, we have a culture of no spoilers. Like, and we are dead serious about it.
I, can tell. It's funny that you say that, though, because my kids and I have, we do have certain shows that we watch together. And I think because we're all very similar, if somebody watches the show without the other person, number one, they get voted off the island for that week. But they're not able to watch it with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because they, like, my kids are not able to, like, hide things. So they'll be like, yeah, wait for this. Or wait, like, don't, no. We want to be surprised like you were surprised. And so, yeah. So we just don't watch it together. So there are some shows that we would watch together. And I'd say, okay, guys, I couldn't help it. I stayed up and I watched it. Y'all go ahead and I'll sit in the background and let you all watch it. So you can't see my facial expressions or anything. But in those events, we do try really hard. I was in a similar situation where my son would go, you know, we had shared custody and we were in different time zones. So there were some shows where, like, if he went to go visit his dad in Texas and I'm here in South Carolina and he'd be gone for like 2 weeks, I'd have to say, kid, I'm not waiting. I'm sorry.
That's the thing is I never wanted to say, hey, you can't watch anything with your dad because, you know, he should get the same joy experience of sharing those things. Just don't come home going in and in and in, or like, you know, watching shows like the Game of Thrones. It was more than just my son and I, it was my friends around the world.
Yes.
And when there's a really good show that tons of people are watching, then I just have to boycott Facebook on Sunday night because my friends do not share my culture of no spoilers and I don't want to see something. Anyways, I'm sorry, we just rabbit trail time. But I don't want to give away spoilers, and yet I want to celebrate the incredible range of stories in this book. But let's let people get to know you. Who's Michelle Garrett? What do you want people to know about you?
Oh gosh, that's a loaded question. I'm still here. I'm still standing. Yes. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, and I founded a community called Divas with a Purpose, where I believe that all women are divas, driven, inspiring, victorious, and called to action. And we're all on this amazing journey together where we can support and uplift and celebrate and just be amazing and awesome together, recognizing that we all have our moments, but we're all striving for the same thing. And this past year has really, the past couple of years actually, has really just honed in on how important that community has been. The ladies that are part of the online community have just come to my rescue. Like, that's really the easiest way to put it, in ways that I never, ever, ever imagined. And I'm just thankful that 11 years ago, I don't believe it's been 11 years, but 11 years ago on a whim, I just decided one day to just, you know, start typing up a blog post, because this is how this all started. And to see how it has grown over the years as I've grown to become a full-time entrepreneur, a mom of three, with a little diva myself, it's just been amazing. And I know it's all been a part of my purpose and a part of my journey for it to unfold the way that it has.
Anything that's true and calls us to stretch, our ego trickster is, you know, what I call ego, mm-hmm. the voice of ego. Anything that's true that calls you to stretch, ego will try to undermine and say, that's not true about you. You just stay right there. You just stay comfy, no stretching, no growing, no doing anything scary. Just stay here. And you not only fight for what's true for yourself, you fight for what's true for others.
Yes, I do. Because there's so many people that just don't have the energy to fight anymore for various reasons. It could just be that they've just been beaten down by life so often. And I realized, even you know, through my mental health journey and just my journey in life in general, just as a mom, as a wife, as a business owner, that the experiences I go through, I'm able to learn from them, but I'm also able to speak out about them in a way that I can say, I'm going through this, but I see the light, you know, or sometimes I'll say, I don't see the light, but yeah. I'm going to still continue to do that. And not everyone is able to do that. And there are times where I don't want to speak out, and I still find myself drawn. And that's just a part of me. It's a part of who mm-hmm. I am. And it has helped so many in the process. But most importantly, it's helped me, because that's a part of how I am able to grow and learn and heal overall. I think when I'm silenced is when I am really at my worst and at my lowest, because I'm not expressing myself. And that's just a big part of, like, I've always been a talker. Even my parents will let you know, like, they had to get me siblings so that I could have somebody else to talk to. And we joke, because I ended up with two little sisters instead of one, twin sisters. So they really tried to get me to stop talking so much to them. But I'm a chatterbox, as you can see right now. And when I'm quiet, I know that something's not right, and others around me know as well.
The variety of stories in the book, you know, what sparked this book project for me is the awareness that when I get past my shit and do something scary, it inspires other people. One area of shit that I get over on a daily basis is being overweight, being a real big woman, and yet still being visible, speaking in public, hosting events, doing live streams, showing up as a real person. When I do that, other big women will come up to me and say, I've never seen a fat girl on stage before. Wow. Like, I didn't even know that it was possible. I didn't know that events hosts would accept a fat speaker. So I've never applied, because usually you see all these beautiful people, yep. beautiful bodies on stage. And it's like, wow, when I take a step past my shit, other people get encouraged to step past their shit. I can speak to issues about, you know, being overweight, issues about feeling undereducated. No spoilers for me, but, you know, I have my issues that I've gotten past. But there are a lot of things I have no experience with that get addressed in this book. Things like coming to terms with sexuality, mental health issues, you know, relationship abuse. There's so much in here, and your brave story is one that addresses your journey with mental health.
Yeah.
You're pretty badass.
I appreciate that. And it's interesting that we're having this conversation today, because this has been a horrible week for me mentally, and I've had to take some steps, but my writing and the things that I talk about, they help to encourage me. Like, I literally had to go back and read my chapter this week as a reminder. And as I remember being at my lowest point and my mother telling me, like, you know, there is a reason why you're going through this, and, you know, your words and your experience, because of who you are, it's going to help others. Now, I was looking at her like, no, ma'am, absolutely not. But mothers know best. At least my mommy does. And, you know, it's been an incredible journey. And there are times where I have to remind myself that I'm still on the journey, because I'm only, you know, from the experiences that I talk about, because no spoilers, the experiences that I talk about in my chapter, it's like not even a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to remind myself of that on a regular basis, and I have conversations with others that, you know, so often we put this pressure I'm guilty of it, that, you know, we have to be right. We have to be healed. We have to be, you know, 100%. And literally less than a year and a half ago, I was at what I consider my rock bottom. And to think that I'm going to be back to what I think I'm supposed to be this quickly is just not, it's not right. It's not, I can't think of the word right now. My brain's not, but it's just not, it's not, it doesn't make sense because it took me years and years and years to get to that point. And so of course it's going to take me a while to get back to, or get to, I don't even want to say get back to, get to the person that I am supposed to be, that's whole.
Yeah. That whole, so back to ego being, your programmed thoughts about what's right, what's wrong, how should you do it, how shouldn't you do it, like every should to, have to, ought to, need to, you ever heard, all boiled into your thoughts. Ego, that voice of trickster, says there's a right way to be on the other side of all that shit, and you're not doing it right. So sit down and shut your face.
That's me. That is my ego, 100%.
Yep. And damn, like it's so incredibly brave and vulnerable to just take a step past all of that and say, but I'm here.
Yeah.
And so I will share what I got.
That's all I got.
You're incredible.
Thank you.
There was an experience. I cannot judge what someone else's experience is, but sometimes people have a rock bottom experience. And I swear to God, it seems like a week later, they're like, oh, I'm fixed. Let me tell you how I did it. And I'm always like, really? Really? Like that strikes me as ego as well. Like ego's like, okay, like, I can't have anyone thinking for a minute that I'm still struggling because I don't want them being careful around me. So I'm just going to buck up and show them my best smile and say, I got this. I'm all fixed. And it's like, there's something so gorgeous and human about embracing the messy middle.
And it's unfortunately that messy middle is messy and it's not fun and pretty at all. And it's difficult because a lot of times the people that are around you, they get uncomfortable with it. Because in some ways I can relate to that. And that's really a big reason why I make my living on social media. Yeah. And I went completely silent on social media for almost 3, 4, maybe 5 months. It took me a long time to get back to where I was posting consistently and showing up. And, you know, I love doing live streams. And I even with that, I've tapered down a lot with that. And I think the first video that I did, I had to do a recorded video because I did not want to get on a live stream and just become like this blubbering mess because it would totally take away from what I wanted to say. But those around us a lot of times have this notion of what healed, and I say that with quotation marks, looks like. And there are times when it's to appease them.
Yeah.
We show up in a different way. And I'm speaking completely from just, you know, my personal experiences because they love you so much that they want you to be better.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to continue to say, I'm not better. Like, today's a great day and I have a smile on my face. However, there's still all of this ick in me. And then it's like, oh, well, what can I do to fix it? And I recently had a conversation with my dad because I am a daddy's girl. And, you know, he was offering advice and he was, you know, saying like, well, what can I do? And I finally had to say, Daddy, nothing. Like, that's the thing. Like, I know it's so hard because, you know, when you love someone, you want to be there for them. I said, but this is me. This is all me. I can't, I can't tell you. I cannot articulate what it is that I need. Because the way my brain is fixed right now is that I don't know. I just know that I need to be present in this moment. I need to have this moment. And it looks ugly. It looks messy. You're not happy with it because you feel as though, you know, you want to nurture and support me. Yeah. And the best way is to just let me be. And just know that, like, I know you're there to catch me if I do fall. Mm-hmm. But I may need to fall. I may need to, you know, just have this moment so then I can move on to the next thing. And yeah. Oftentimes for those that are, you know, a week later, they're like, I'm 100% better. Like, this is what I learned. Let me teach you all the things. I believe they may have caught into that cycle to where it's easier to appear better for those that are around them, whether it's their loved ones, their community, you know, whatever, than to show them what that nasty, messy, like,
yeah,
whatever looks.
The name of my book, our book, is Get Past Your Shit.
Yeah.
And shit being fears, insecurities, crappy circumstances, perceived limitations. That's anything that I that I think about and stop creating what I want in the world. It's my shit.
Yeah.
And I use the word shit extremely purposefully. It is profanity, and some people are really shocked by it, but I say worse things. It's shit. And let's consider for a minute. Shit is stinky.
Yep.
It's messy. It's complicated and expensive to deal with. Like, there's an entire public works department in every city around the world to deal with shit. And when that process of dealing with it goes very bad.
Oh my God.
My sister, when I was a teenager, her house, she bought a house. She thought it was connected to the city sewer, and it wasn't.
Oh, no.
And so a few years later, it all backs up into her basement. That was a shitty, shitty mess. And it was very expensive to fix. Like, there is nothing, like, I have a 7-month-old grandbaby. His shit ain't cute anymore. You know, when they're tiny, it's like, oh, he pooed. Oh, it smells. Now it's like, damn, boy.
What have you been eating? What have I fed you? Oh, my goodness. I had some flashbacks just now when you were eating diapers.
But here's the thing. Okay, so this is a TMI story, but I have a brother, Brett, who passed away a long time ago. But he's a year and a half older than me, and he had he was mentally handicapped. He was about like 28, and he came to stay with me for a couple weeks, and he had diarrhea.
Oh, gosh.
And he's in the bathroom, and he's like, Kelly. And I come in, I peek in, and I'm like, oh, shit. And he needed help. He was like overwhelmed by his problem and he needed help. He was mentally handicapped. He did not know what to do about it. And it's like, well, I guess go get the box of baby wipes, you know, come in, help him, get his stuff, get him in the shower. It was stinky. It was messy. And it was an honor.
Mm.
He's my brother.
Yeah.
He's my big brother, and he can't handle it on his own. It was a freaking honor to clean up his shit and not make him feel horrible about it.
That part.
You know, to be okay with it, to not go into, why didn't you get to the toilet on time? You know, to not go into shame and mm-hmm. here's what you should have done, or here's what you're going to do next time, damn it. Just, oh, shit. Oh, you got a problem. Let's fix it. Let's
fix it.
It's an honor.
Oh, my gosh. If so many more people would feel that way. this journey would be it would be so it would make such a difference. And I think anyone that listens to this and hears what you just said, if they have someone in their life, like I want to, like that just that touched my heart in so many ways just now hearing that story, because it that's what we need. You know, we want somebody to realize that we're being vulnerable, we're opening up, and we're saying, I need help. And I don't want you to judge me. I don't want you to tell me, like, well, if you've done this, done that, like, I know that. And, you know, I know if I'd taken these steps and done these other things, I may not be here, depending on what the situation is. But to have someone just come and be willing to just help and do what we can't do for ourselves in that moment when we wish with all our might that we could is just, it's just, I don't have the words for it, but more people need to be willing and able to do that. And I think a lot of it starts with just educating themselves and stepping back and putting themselves in their loved one's shoes and realizing, like, how would I feel if I could not do what comes naturally to others?
We hide our shit for fear of the judgment and people, feeling sorry for us or trying to fix us. And that's like the heart behind the book is, look, we're here's some shit we're not hiding anymore. And chatting with Lane Farrell, her story is in the book. She, when she was first writing her story, she said she was thinking about publishing it as a fiction story because she wanted to tell it, but she wasn't sure she wanted to be associated with it. And we were thinking about how the writing in and of itself is cathartic. But the sharing of it, being with the story and owning that this is me, this is my shit, I've gotten over it and I'm open to you knowing about it. I think months and years to come, this book will continue to bring healing into our lives
Yes,
in a
I
huge
agree.
way. Every day, reminding ourselves. I'm not ashamed of my shit.
Nope. I love that. And it's interesting because when I went the writing process for me was horrible. There were so many times where I was like, Kelly, no, I just can't. I'm not gonna do this. I'm like, nope, this is not it. And I finally just had to like I literally sat there and bawled my eyes out at some points writing my story, but I needed it. Like in that moment, there's a certain portion of my story where I'm just talking about my mom, and there were aha moments that I got while I was writing that just like it helped me to see her in a completely different light, and just realize just how important and necessary and needed her being my mom is. And you know, that wasn't by again that wasn't by happenstance. I share that I'm adopted, and so there was a reason why, you know, I was placed in her life and she was placed in my life, because you know, if she wasn't the person that was my mom that had that attachment and knows me better than probably anybody else knows me, and even when I'm withdrawing, I probably wouldn't be here today. I would not be here today.
Y'all listening didn't see me when Michelle said she almost quit. I spit my drink. I'm just
Just
laughing
kept.
about it. What was it like to work with Karen Crompton on your story?
Karen is awesome because my first draft I sent, and like she and I had a conversation, and so I shared with her, you know, my experiences. I'm like, look, this is the first time that I want to talk about this. I think that, you know, this is the perfect platform to share it. And the way she treated my story and my emotions and just what I was dealing with was just amazing. Absolutely positively amazing. And so then I wrote my story and she messaged me back and she was like, this is not what you told me you were going to write. I was like, I can't do it. So we got on a call and she said, you know, here are your options. You can, if you want to go this way. And I love, cause see, I'm that type of person where if you give me options, but I know that you really want me to do, like the best way to get me to do what you really want me to do is to tell me to do it another way that is like taking the easy way out. And that's exactly what Karen did. She's like, I mean, we can go with what you wrote. We can just kind of shift it. She's like, but the story you said you wanted to tell, yeah, you need to dig deeper. And I'm like, dig deeper. So I did it and I dug deep for the rewrite. And when I sent it back to her, like she told me she was proud of me. And I was like, I'm proud of you for dealing with me. But she just has this way of asking the right questions and guiding you through that path that you need to tell what you want to say and say it how you want to say it in a way that will impact the reader.
Yeah. We've bragged on Karen in every single interview. Your story is fantastic and it grabbed me from the first sentence. And some of these stories, I'm finding things out I didn't know, but I knew your story, like what you're opening with. And I still was just like emotionally just grabbed by it. You did such a great job. You're a wonderful writer.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. <Yes.
laughs> Karen is making us all better writers.
She is. She definitely did.
Some of the stories we wrote ourselves, a few of the stories were ghost written, where Karen interviewed and did the writing and then worked back and forth with people. Because there were stories I wanted in the book from people who just would say, hey, I'm not an author. That's mm-hmm. not my thing. And I still wanted them in there. And whether they like it or not, now they're an author. Michelle,
that's what happens when you hang around Kelly.
Thank you so much for being part of the project. Thank you for letting us in on your shit. And man, I just know it's going to have a huge impact on other people. There are people who are going to resonate with your story in ways that they don't resonate with any of the others. You've taken a stand. And you've become an invitation for others to realize they can get past their shit too.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much for just having the vision for this project and having me as a part of the journey. So I've told you before, and I'll say it again, I think on videos as well, that you have been such an integral part of my healing and my growth as a person and as a business owner. And so I'm thankful.
I love you, Michelle. You are back with Kelly here on episode 52 of Love People and Make Money. Here's where I tell you how to get the book. Go to getpastyourshit.com. There's a link there to go get the Kindle version of the book for just $2.99. There is also a paperback version. You're welcome to grab that if you like to hold a book in your hands. When you do buy the book, you get to claim a free gift from me, and that is the Get Past Your Shit Group Coaching Intensive, which is running live November 3rd through the 19th, 6 sessions over the course of 3 weeks designed to support you in getting past your shit. It's going to be an intimate experience. I really look forward to it. You know, if you're listening to this after the book launch, you're still going to be able to get access to replays and you're going to be able to download my workbook. So you listen to the videos and you use the workbook just as if you were spending time with me live. So that's all available to you over at getpastyourshit.com. If you have any questions, if you want to connect with Michelle, come on back to lovepeoplemakemoney.com. Look for episode number 52 and you'll find links to Michelle's website. That's it for now. See you in the next episode.